You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
From the depths of the sea, this is Transmissions from Atlantis, a sci-fi, fantasy, and horror podcast with a special emphasis on Doctor Who. Featuring the creators of Seekers of the Lost Worlds, Rita and J.C. Delatorre.
Hi everybody, my name is J.C. Delatorre.
And I'm Rita Delatorre.
And this is episode 141 of Transmissions from Atlantis.
Sorry we haven't been around, things have been busy. But we've got a jam-packed show for you today.
And if you have been paying attention to our site, you know that we posted our review of the movie of the year so far, Black Panther, which just went over $1
billion. $1 billion!
Yes, so if you want to see our review of Black Panther, definitely go to the ESO Patreon site, which you can see right along there, that little URL right there. And go ahead and become a Patreon for the ESO Network. Now, I know we've been giving away our reviews for free all of this time, and you're asking yourself, Jason, why do I have to pay for your review of Black Panther?
Because it's exclusive to Patreon?
That's exactly right, Rita. It is exclusive to Patreon. So for our Patreon supporters, they get an opportunity to actually see our review of Black Panther. Hey, they asked us to do it, so. Right?
But, you know, becoming a Patreon for ESO Network isn't just going to get you a couple of exclusive things here and there. Being longtime loyal listeners means you're going to get a lot of bonus material from not just us, but all of ESO Network.
Yep, and not only that, the ESO Network has some big things planned, and without having your support as a Patreon, they can't accomplish it. So we need that kind of support. So that's why we decided to do this exclusive for the Patreon donors. And hey, you know, it doesn't cost that much money. It's very, very cheap. It's only like $5 to be a Patreon supporter. So, you know, go ahead and do it. And you get to check out our review of Black Panther, which is absolutely worth the $5.
Totally worth the $5.
Well, at least my part is. I don't know about hers, but anyway.
Excuse you.
Eh? What? Okay. Anywho, so what do we have on tap?
All right, so for rapid fire, we're going to be talking Voltron, Fantastic Beasts, Lucifer, Supernatural.
Oh, and by the way, Jessica Jones is back.
Jessica Jones.
And her crazy mama.
Yeah. We're also going to be talking The Last Jedi.
Yep.
Among other things, Luke Skywalker.
Yes. So Luke Skywalker, I guess, is going to be having some extra scenes in The Last Jedi Blu-ray release. In addition to that, Mark Hamill gets his star on the Walk of Fame.
And we're also going to be talking the new Crow remake and who is going to play the lead role.
Right. And speaking of remakes, Highlander is finally moving along in its remake. I still don't like that idea. I think it's terrible. Terrible!
And for our main topic this week, we're going to be talking about Wrinkle in Time, the new Disney film. You're not Vanna White.
Hey, I have hands of steel.
Okay.
Never mind.
And as always, we're going to have our Doctor Who segment. And even though Doctor Who isn't, you know, currently playing, but there's still a lot of news coming out.
Yep. Now comes all the spoilery stuff. So we'll give you some scoopage, talk about the new Doctor Who logo, Which is interesting, to say the least.
All right.
Yep. That's going to do it for our preview of the show, so let's go ahead and get it started, right? With?
Rapid fire. All right, so starting off with rapid fire, we've got Voltron Season 5.
I will give the floor to you.
Okay, well,
spoilers!
Keith is still not part of the Voltron Force. So.
And he never will be!
Shut your hole, you blasphemer! Anywho!
And that's spoilers.
This is rapid fire. We always do spoilers. Anywho. But, he founds his mom!
He founds his mom?
He founds his mom.
Is that English?
This was actually a really good season. Last season, there was like an episode or two where I was kind of iffy on. But this season, each episode was jam-packed with a lot of action, good storyline. Well, what can I say? She-Ra's a clone.
Well, I think we kind of called that, right?
Come on. I mean, they couldn't make it any more obvious.
Right.
All right, moving on. Fantastic Beasts.
Yes, so the new Fantastic Beasts trailer came out, and...
They go back to Hogwarts!
Yes, how about that? They go back to Hogwarts.
And we see a young Dumbledore!
Well, we were expecting that, because we knew the young Dumbledore was going to show up, but it's kind of interesting. I don't know. I'm kind of getting excited about it. I don't remember seeing Johnny Depp. Was Grindelwald in this trailer?
Yeah, he was in it, like, a couple times.
I don't remember seeing it. Oh, he was the one with the white hair, right?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. He just looked weird.
All right, so Lucifer continues to be an amazing show. The story has still been picking up.
Yeah.
And we're hoping that it's... She's got to find out soon that he's actually Lucifer, right?
She is never going to find out. Never! Although
Why?
Although I do have to say that I do like that it's going back into the supernatural... type of stuff. I've always enjoyed Lucifer when it gets away from the procedural cop, you know, boring ass murder of the week kind of thing and actually goes into some of the mythology of Lucifer. And I think that it's starting to head towards that a little bit more here and there. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they do the rest of the season.
You know what else I'm looking forward to?
What?
Scooby Naturals!
Yes, so Supernatural returns March 29th. And it's going to be the Scooby Natural episode. And I don't know. How do you think this is all going to work? Do you think they may have jumped the shark here?
No, I think whoever thought of this idea was genius.
So, of course, the funny part was in the teaser trailer was when Dean's like, I got dibs on Daphne. As, you know, what else would Dean Winchester say?
All right, so next up, the new Star Wars series.
So yeah, Jon Favreau of Iron Man fame going to helm the new Star Wars live action television show. So first of all, Star Wars live action television show. Oh my god!
You don't think this is Disney milking it for everything it's worth?
Of course they're milking it for everything they got. You know how much money they paid George Lucas for Star Wars?
You don't think they're gonna run it into the ground, do you?
It's Disney. Don't they pretty much run everything into the ground until, you know, how many freaking Return of Jafar, Aladdin movies did we get?
Very true.
You know, until it stops making money, they will run that crap into the ground.
So, speaking of Star Wars, The Last Jedi and the new deleted scenes we're going to be getting.
Yeah, so apparently one of the scenes is a scene that I felt was missing from the original theatrical release, which was Luke Skywalker basically contemplating the end of his friend's life, Han. You know, Han's death. I'm sure it's not a spoiler right now, right?
Of course not.
So, that's one of the huge scenes. There's apparently some more context to some of the battle scenes. There's going to be, I think they said, almost 20 minutes worth of deleted scenes. So,
wow.
Yeah, so
that's a lot. And speaking of Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill received a Hollywood
Walk of Fame
star.
Yes.
It's about time.
Were you pausing for dramatic license or something?
What sure.
Was that about?
Sure.
Or could you not remember what it was called?
I don't know what you're talking about.
So yes, Mark Hamill finally got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And of course, he's Mark Hamill. I can't understand how it's taken this long for him to get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. I think it's ridiculous, actually.
I do too, but you know what? Better late than never, he finally has one now, and it's very well deserved.
And let me tell you one thing about Mark Hamill before we move on. I absolutely love Mark Hamill now. I'm a follower of his on Twitter, and he is one of the most funniest people on Twitter. He is the best Twitter follower. And of course, if you want to see, if you wanted to follow Mark yourself, it's Hamill himself. And so I just love his humor. He has this weird, wry sense of humor, and it's just, it's fun to just actually just read his comments and get his take on life.
I wouldn't know. My Twitter account's not working.
That's because you're a Russian spam bot.
I am not a spam bot.
You are a Russian spam bot.
All right, moving on.
Did you vote for Trump?
Jason Momoa.
So,
as the new Eric Draven?
Yes. So this is the Crow reboot. And I gotta say, when they first started talking about rebooting the Crow, I thought it was a terrible idea. You can't mess with one of the best, you know, action movies out there. You know,
Brandon Lee's
portrayal of Eric Draven is, you know, right up there with Keanu Reeves and John Wick and, you know, all the great action roles. And the fact, of course, that he perished during the filming of the film
makes it that much more of a cult and iconic film.
Exactly. So to me, The Crow is something that's very near and dear to my heart. And the thought of somebody else trying to take on that role bothers me. But with all that said, Jason Momoa is exactly the right choice.
He's dark. He's broody. What more do you want for Eric Draven?
Yeah, and he's a very skilled actor. And I've always loved pretty much anything he's been in, from Stargate, Atlantis, all the way to
Game of Thrones.
I didn't see him as Aquaman because I didn't watch that horrible Justice League movie. But but other than that, you know, I think, and obviously we watched that one TV show that's on Netflix.
Frontier, yes. He's fantastic in Frontier.
Yeah, so if anybody can pull off brooding, tortured rock zombie or whatever the Crow is, right?
It's Jason Momoa.
It's Jason Momoa, and, you know, I think it's going to be fabulous.
All right, so we've saved the best for last for Rapid Fire. Jessica Jones, Season 2.
Yes, and of course, this time Jessica is dealing with, you know, all the ramifications of killing Kilgrave. And it's interesting to see how she evolves during this particular season, and add to the fact that the villain in this particular season is somebody that's very close to her. And
no spoilers, because even we haven't finished watching it.
Yeah, and I will give you this one little spoiler. Kilgrave isn't done with her yet. Even though he's dead, he ain't done with her yet.
Yeah.
Yep, and
I've been very impressed with this season so far.
Yeah, and of course we learn a lot more about Trish's arc as well, and the relationship with, you know, Trish and Jessica, and, you know, how Jessica kind of came to be the loner that she is.
Yeah, it's really interesting, because in this season we're seeing a lot more flashbacks into her past.
Yep.
Which gives us a little bit more insight into her personality and why she is the way she is.
Yep, and Trish's personality as well. And, you know, Trish is a recovering addict, as is Malcolm. And, you know, here's one little spoiler. Malcolm and Trish hook up, and that's a combustible combination. Two former addicts kind of hooking up together.
Yeah.
That never spells good things. Yeah. But overall, what would you rate Jessica Jones?
Jessica Jones, as much as I love the series, has never been my favorite of the Netflix Marvel series.
Oh, it's one of mine. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
I think on the long run, I rated about a 9.
That's a pretty good rating for something you quote-unquote don't like.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you come up against Daredevil and Luke Cage, because I love Luke Cage.
Yeah. But you still gave it a 9.
Yeah, I still give it a 9. It's entertaining.
Yep. I give it a 9 as well. You know, it's not perfect. You know, I do think that there are some moments in the show that are kind of silly, but overall, it's been a great season. It's still a great show, and it's definitely better than Iron Fist.
You mean the show we never even finished?
Yes, it was so bad.
Because it was that bad.
All right, that does it for Rapid Fire. Coming up next,
Wrinkle in Time.
Yes.
ESO. 7 years of keeping it really geeky.
Hey! What are you trying to do? You ruined my record, man. I just bought it.
Hey, you guys!
How exciting. Spoilers.
Come!
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.
Think it'll work?
It would take a miracle.
Bye-bye.
The Earth Station One Podcast. It's time to let your inner geek out to play. You can find them at www.earthstationone.com or up on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Peace, and we're done.
Spoilers!
All right, welcome back, and now we're going to talk Wrinkle in Time, Disney's latest feature film adaptation.
Yes.
Well,
here's the thing about A Wrinkle in Time. Everybody has read this book.
Because for at least most of us.
Well, at least those of us that are in our 30s or 40s.
It was required reading. At school.
I don't know if it still is, but I'm assuming it still is because it's one of the classic books out there. Obviously, it was written by an author that is kind of like in the same vein as C.S. Lewis.
Yes.
Where she embedded some Christian themes throughout her Wrinkle in Time series, or that I think it's the Time Quintet or something.
I believe so.
Yeah. Well, originally it was a Time.
Well, one of my absolute favorite things about,
I guess, whatever it was, four books, and then it became the fifth book when she added the one in.
Okay, who cares?
I care. They care. All right, go ahead. Whatever.
One of my absolute favorite things about the series in general is the balance between science and religion and how they can both work together.
Yeah.
The one thing that I noticed about the Disney adaptation is that they pretty much gutted the whole religion side of the book.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they completely eliminated all of the religion that was infused within Wrinkle in Time. And then they went a step further where they chucked pieces of the story, just, see ya, don't need it, but we'll put this big time action scene in here because Lord knows we need that.
I honestly walked out of that film really disappointed. Not only did they take a lot of liberties with this film, the misses, all three of them, had completely different personalities. Mm-hmm. Than what they had in the book.
Or even in the TV adaption that was, I think, in the early 2000s.
Yeah, 2004.
Yeah, 2004, yeah. And when you change a character that much, you know, Oprah's Mrs. Witch, right? She went from a non-trusting, you know, overbearing, you know, entity to becoming this nurturing mother figure.
Yeah, and Mrs. What's-It, who was supposed to be the nurturing, you know, I believe in you figure in the book and in the 2004 adaptation, became the, I don't think Meg should be here because I don't think she can. Became the Nancy Downer.
Yeah, And I'll say this. I mean, I get it. You know, I get that Disney wanted to harp on the whole, you know, even if you're picked on in school, even if you're, you know, a nerd or whatever, you know, it's okay because you have this inner power and all this other, you know, I get it.
You but know. You still could have done all of that without changing the story so much.
Yeah, that's all in here. That's all in here. So you could have stuck to the story and still gotten the point across.
And the whole point is that if you see this book, okay, this is actually a three-parter. There's three whole books in here. Wrinkle in Time is this. Just this. You can fit this in a two-hour film without having to not sacrifice main parts of the story.
Exactly.
Oh, what did they sacrifice? Let's see. How about the freaking twins?
Yes.
The twins were never even born in the Disney film.
So how do you create a sequel?
You can't.
You can't create a sequel because the twins don't exist in this
universe.
Hello,
the fourth book called Many Waters stars the freaking twins.
Yes. And not only that. How is Charles Wallace an adopted son?
Who came up with that idea? What was the even point, the reasoning behind?
Why change that?
Instead of making him, you know, an actual blood relative, let's just make him adopted.
Yeah.
Why? What was the point of that? There was literally no point in making him an adopted kid.
And not only that, they change Charles Wallace's personality in the books.
He doesn't speak to people outside his family.
Exactly. But in this movie,
he talks to everybody.
He talks to everybody. It's completely opposite.
And let's not forget, he can also read the minds of his sister and his mother. He doesn't do the twins, not because he can't, but because they don't need him.
Right.
And they completely glossed over that fact in the film.
Right.
Charles Wallace isn't just a child prodigy. He is telepathic. He can think outside in the universe. And they just...
gloss over that.
Totally glossed over that. It was just so wrong.
And the main villain of A Wrinkle in Time is the red-eyed man. And they make him insignificant. Insignificant.
Well, don't get me wrong. He is still a puppet in the book, but the way they portrayed him in the film where they actually physically made him look like a puppet, no. I'm sorry.
It's supposed to be a metaphor, Disney, not actually turning him into a puppet.
And here, oh my God, so many issues with this film. Let's see. Let's start with Mrs. Whatsit's transformation.
Right.
She does transform in the book.
But to what the hell was that? That she
into this.
She's supposed to transform
this
into that.
This, not a big giant
leaf
bug.
Monster. Yes. What the hell was that?
And one of the most integral parts is when they're listening to the music being sung by the creatures in Uriel.
Yeah.
That didn't even happen at all either.
And hello, Central Intelligence.
Oh, well, let's not get there yet. Yeah. The happy medium was not happy.
Yeah, the happy medium was depressed as hell.
I mean, dressed all in black. The happy medium that is actually in the book is exactly the way the happy medium is depicted in the 2004 film.
Right.
Down to the last little detail, right? We get a bearded, black-clothed, depressed male of a happy medium in the Disney film, and I'm like, this is not a happy medium.
Yeah.
He never even smiled.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we get to Camazotz, where they supposedly get attacked by some monster before they get to the town, but no, this is where they create this giant dirt tornado.
Tornado that's throwing them all over the place.
Okay. But then here's the thing. In the book, when they get to the town, there are actual physical people in this town that are all brainwashed by it, by the darkness, right? No. In the Disney film, all the people in the town is a freaking manifestation that doesn't actually exist.
Yes. So there's no there's no purpose in them trying to save any other people but the dad.
There's nobody to save except the dad, because apparently the dad is the only thing on that planet.
And it's the only thing that it has ever claimed, right? which makes absolutely no friggin' sense at all.
You never even really see Central Intelligence on the outside, because all of a sudden they're teleported into this white room that is Central Intelligence.
Yes, so you don't see any of the you know, order takers or any of the other stuff that you could easily fit in to the movie.
Easily. But no, you decided to butcher the book.
Yes.
Disney, I'm sorry, I usually am very supportive about the stuff you do. I mean, you did great things with Black Panther.
I mean, hell.
But this was shit.
Hell, we are one of the few people around that actually liked The Lone Ranger, right?
I love The Lone Ranger.
We're one of the few people that actually loved John Carter.
We love John Carter.
This was shit. I'm sorry.
Okay, then we get to the whole point where, you know, Charles Wallace gets, you know, bamboozled by the red-eyed guy, by it, right? And then, you know, her father and has to test her and Calvin out of there before things go really, really bad.
Right.
But in this film, they make it seem like the father is just, you know what, screw it, I'm just going to abandon my son.
Yeah.
Right?
Because he's the adopted son and she's the real child.
Yeah.
And that's bullcrap, because
that's bullcrap.
Adoptive parents wouldn't do that either.
I mean, don't get me wrong. That does happen in the book. The father tessers them away, but that's because the whole point is to regroup so they can try again.
Right.
And this film adaptation, it was like, okay, we're done.
Yeah.
Bye.
Charles Wallace.
No, yeah, screw Charles Wallace, right? And Meg was supposed to be critically injured. They go to Ixchel, the ice planet, where you have, you know, the hairy auntie beast,
yep,
who will heal them all.
Yep.
And then Meg goes back
and then
to save Charles Wallace.
Yep.
And that's another thing. The misses are on Ixchel. None of that happened in this film. So the father, you know, tried to tether them all away, but no, Meg fought it and stayed behind.
Which made absolutely no friggin' sense.
Guys, these scenes would not have taken up that much time.
It's like whoever, you know, took this movie, right, and wrote the script for it, they're like, you know what? This is all crap. I'm throwing it over here, and I'm writing my own story with these characters. And it was a pale imitation of the book. Pale. Filmmakers, I'm talking to you. Look into my eyes here. If you're going to adapt a book, make it like the book. You know, I'm not saying you have to have every single moment of the book. We all understand that
you don't even have to have every single character.
Yeah, we completely understand you can't truly adapt every single thing in a book to a film, but at least have it resemble the source material.
Because if you take a book that has won this many awards, that has been a classic since the 60s.
And it's loved by so many people.
Required reading at school, read by, who knows, millions of people. You don't butcher the story. And because if you do that, you're a jackass.
And everybody knows the story. So when you change the story, it completely pisses everybody off.
So I'm sorry. Whoever the screenwriter was for this film,
yes,
you suck.
Screwed up, and the producer screwed up, the director screwed up, everybody involved in this production screwed up.
I don't understand how Disney at some point said, yeah, sure, let's go with this. This is good, and I approve this.
Yeah.
Really?
And you gotta imagine.
Maybe the producers never read the book.
And you gotta imagine with the amount of money that they put into the promotion of this movie, the CGI with the fancy CGI scenes, that they had to want to turn this into a franchise, right?
You would think so.
But if you change the essence of the friggin' book and piss off all the fans, you're getting what they're getting, which is a flop. A mega, mega flop.
There's a reason why your film is bombing.
Yep.
And you why promoted the heck out of it.
And why it can't even beat Black Panther on its sixth friggin' week.
And why? Because you butchered the story, and now people are getting that word out.
And people aren't going.
And people aren't going.
Yep. So, what I will say, though, I will say that the acting was well done. I liked Chris Pine as the dad. I liked the young actress that played Meg. I liked all the people that played the different characters. I thought the acting was well done. I thought Oprah did a nice job as Mrs. Witch.
Reese Witherspoon.
I mean, all the acting was great. I'm not going to take anything from the actors. If I had never read A Wrinkle in Time, you know, it was a good fantasy story, right?
Yeah.
The problem is I did read A Wrinkle in Time.
And the problem is most of the world has read A Wrinkle in Time.
Yes. All right, so do you want to rate this?
Do we have to?
Yes, we do have to.
Zero. Big fat zero. I'm never watching it again. It is not going to be a Blu-ray buy. You know what I'm going to buy? I'm going to buy the DVD of the 2004 made-for-film adaptation because that was much better. Thank you.
I'm going to give it a 4 just because of the acting, because of the CGI. The CGI is fantastic to watch. But as Valerian proved, you can't have a good movie on CGI alone. You actually have to have acting. You actually have to have a good story. And I felt that while A Wrinkle in Time, the film, was a decent story, and it was a decent fantasy story, it wasn't this story. And that's a disservice. So, yeah.
Okay, you know what? I will add one more thing. Kudos to the actors, because you guys are only following, you know, your director and your yep. instructions. So you guys did a great job. I'm just angry. I'm just angry because Wrinkle in Time is one of my all-time favorite science fiction novels.
Yep.
And it got butchered.
Mine too.
And I'm just angry.
And I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed in you, Disney. You're better than this. We've seen you do faithful adaptions before. I mean, what you did with Beauty and the Beast going 1-to-1 with the animated film to the live action film, you know, you could have done better, and we're disappointed, and it's a shame. All right, coming up next, we're gonna talk
Doctor Who.
What are we doing?
I don't know. I mean, are we really adventurers? Not exactly Harrison Ford.
I think we should do it.
I have learned about you from a mutual acquaintance and have ascertained that your adventurer spirit can continue where I left off. Enclosed in the suitcase is all you need to begin your journey, your servant. This looks really old.
Well, what you have here, Rita, is a stone tablet with ancient Sumerian inscription. This word right here, if I didn't know better, it was Atlantis.
Atlantis? As in the Lost Continent? I mean, that's just fiction.
Do you happen to be an archaeologist?
That depends.
On what?
On if Indiana Jeb here's got something else to wear.
Hey.
I mean, come on, really?
3 reason we're here is because the tablet said we would find the key to Solok in the Cave of the Protected.
Cave of the Protected?
Yeah, it's somewhere here on Kauai, in the deepest part of the jungle, in fact.
The private journal of Captain Barnaby H. McIntosh, privateer and adventurer.
This journal reads like a fantasy novel.
So what have you found so far?
It's hard to read, but McIntosh is talking about someone trying to gain access to Atlantis.
Clarius?
The portal to Atlantis was sealed to protect it from Clarius.
But why? I mean, who is this guy?
Another trap.
What is it?
Spores. Toxic spores. Hit the ground. We gotta go. Move.
It's a cryptex, like Da Vinci Code.
Oh my.
Is that real? Hey, shouldn't we be in like a map room or something?
There's a red mark. Is that pointing to the Bahamas? Alright, let's just get into some dry clothes.
Hey, did you bring a hair dryer or a fan?
I think Sarah has one.
Does she? Do you have one?
Yeah, like...
No, I don't.
We're here prepared.
Worst adventure ever.
You got your flat on it.
Hello, this is Nick Briggs, the voice of the Daleks, and you're listening to Transmissions from Atlantis. And I urge you to listen, or you will be exterminated!
Laugh hard!
Run fast.
Be kind. Doctor. I let you go.
Folks, you know that sound. It's time for Doctor Who.
And we've got lots of news this month.
Yes. So let's get it started with the new logo. I don't like it.
I do.
Do you?
Yeah. It's simple. It's kind of minimalist. I think it's cool.
What about that logo says Doctor Who?
You mean other than the fact that it says Doctor
Who. I mean, obviously, other than the fact that it says Doctor Who. I mean, there's not a TARDIS in it. There's not even a TARDIS light in it.
I think it's kind of Art Deco.
Since when is Doctor Who Art Deco?
Doctor Who can be anything, baby.
I don't know. It's okay.
Hey, it's a new Doctor. It's a new logo. I like it.
It's all right.
All right, so Alan Cumming is coming. To Doctor Who.
Yes. So, oh yeah, nicely done. Anywho. So, Alan Cumming, who has long time been rumored as a Doctor, is finally coming to Doctor Who, but as a baddie. Well, maybe not a baddie. He's going to be playing King James the First, which... could be a baddie. Maybe not. I don't know. We'll have to see how that all works out.
The thing is, we've seen him in so many things already. He is a fantastic actor.
Yep.
I have always thought that he could have made a great doctor.
Oh, he would have been an awesome doctor, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And it's never too late for him, because he's still young.
Yeah, he's fairly young. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's not as old as Capaldi, so, I mean, what the hell, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, now that he's playing a character in Doctor Who, it's highly unlikely he would ever be the Doctor.
Capaldi.
I know. I know. But it's just highly unlikely. I don't know. It doesn't happen that often. It's only happened twice in 53 years of Doctor Who.
That is true. All right, next up, Chris Eccleston has said that Doctor Who has ruined his career.
No, well, he said it almost destroyed,
his career.
Yes. And here's what I have to say about that. Boo friggin' who? Oh my God, Chris. If you weren't such a friggin' jerk, maybe it wouldn't have almost ruined your career. But no, you had to be an actor. I'm too good for Doctor Who.
Here's the thing. David Tennant became the Doctor. He's been in many, many amazing roles since then.
Yep.
But yet he still owns the fact that he was the Doctor. Yes. He still goes to convention and he loves his fans.
Because he didn't think he was bigger than Doctor Who. He understood the magnitude of what Doctor Who is. And that's one thing that Chris Eccleston has never, ever been able to contemplate. And that is that Doctor Who is one of the most beloved and largest shows that you could ever be in. It's a privilege to be in Doctor Who.
Next up, Matt Smith.
Yeah.
Again, he left Doctor Who. He still owns Doctor Who. Yeah. He has been in many amazing roles since Doctor Who. He still attends cons, and he loves his fans.
Yep.
And guess what? Capaldi owns, he still owns it. He is still going to, you know, conventions, being with the fans. He's still getting amazing roles.
Yep, he's already in other roles, you know.
So you want to know who almost ruined his career?
You, Chris Eccleston. It was you. Because you didn't understand what you were getting yourself into. And you can say that, well, I put Doctor Who on the map. No, Doctor Who was always there. The fans were always there. It was BBC that was too stupid to realize it. And you were just happened to be the guy that was the first. And that's it. That's it. But you got too big for your britches, and you know what? BBC blackballed you. And you had to come to America and do crap roles because you thought you were this huge, pretentious actor. Well, you did this to yourself, Chris. And you know what? I don't feel sorry for you.
Nope.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for this episode of Transmissions from Atlantis. We want to tell you one more time, definitely check out the ESO Network Patreon. It has very cool stuff like our review of Black Panther, some exclusive stuff from the Earth Station 1 podcast, and pretty much all the podcasts on the network. And it's just a cool thing to do, and it's going to be able to enable the network to be able to do some crazy, awesome things, right?
Yep, and also, Seekers of the Lost Worlds, we may have some pretty cool news to announce
the next
maybe
time around.
Soon.
Yeah, the next time around. We are definitely still applying for film festivals, but we also are planning our big Tampa Bay premiere, which could be our world premiere, depending on what happens with some of the film festivals. That's all coming down the pike, and we will have more information on that in the next podcast. In addition to that, we're going to have some big movies coming out, right?
Yeah, we've got Avengers Infinity War coming out soon.
Well, that's in May, right?
That is May.
Yes. I think we're going to have a podcast before then.
All right, so March 23rd, Pacific Rim.
The new Pacific Rim comes out. Okay.
That's right.
Cool.
Also, I Killed Giants is going to be coming out March 23rd
And Ready Player One should be coming out soon, right?
I believe so.
Yep, so... I don't know if we'll have Ready Player One as part of our next podcast, but I'm sure we'll have a few of the other new movies that are coming out. Of course, any other new TV series that comes out, we'll be talking Scooby Natural.
Scooby Natural!
And probably the season finale of Supernatural. We don't talk Walking Dead anymore, so sorry about that. Walking Dead is dead to us.
Yeah, we're not sorry.
But... until next time.
Allons-y.
Allons-y. Goodbye, everybody.
Allons-y. I should say allons-y more often. Allons-y. Look sharp, Rose Tyler. Allons-y. And then, it'd be really brilliant if I met someone called Alonzo. Because then I could say allons-y, Alonzo, every time.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.